Dominic Kinnear joins us on Sports Byline, former pro soccer player who won 54 caps playing for the United States national soccer team. He's also won four MLS championships as the coach of the San Jose Earthquakes and also the Houston Dynamo. When you think about soccer and all the years you've been associated with it, Dominic, I mean, what is it that you're stuck with? What is it about the game that always kept you hooked?
Well, I came from a soccer-playing background, Ron. Being born in Scotland, and I had three older brothers and an older sister. It was almost one of those where you did what the people ahead of you did, and my brothers played because of my father who coached. And you just kind of fell in line with that. And saying that, I did, play other sports, but the one thing with soccer that always kind of kept me motivated, and it was the one sport that I loved more than the most.
One of the stories that I read was that you were just 12 years old. It was the 1978 World Cup Finals. Pick up the story from there, Dominic.
Yeah, it was. We were home we were back in Scotland on a family vacation, and 1978 Scotland had this big hoopla around it because the coach, in all his great wisdom, decided that he thought that Scotland was good enough to play in the World Cup. So it created a lot of fanfare. We were sitting in my grandmother's living room and watching Scotland play Peru. And there was probably about maybe 15 or so people in the room watching. And even though Scotland had an awful World Cup, just the experience kind of got me hooked on it. And from then on, whenever people asked me what I wanted to do, I always said I wanted to be a professional soccer player. And people looked kind of corny because, as you know, soccer back in those days, the 70s, early 80s, wasn't even close to what it is now.
I was just going to ask you about the difference in attitude toward the game in Europe and other parts of the world as compared to the United States. There really is no comparison back then. But can you put into words what that atmosphere is like, what the patriotism for your national team is like?
Well, I mean, it's grown a ton since I stopped playing, Ron, which is about 15 years ago or so, and even farther back with the U.S. team. I think my last game was 1994, maybe 95, so we're talking 20 years, and now the atmosphere, the intensity, the fanfare has grown tremendously in the United States. It's hard to explain how much it's grown in such a short period of time. Obviously, Major League Soccer has had a huge impact on that as well. But I think when you look back 1990 when they made the World Cup, got interest in 94 when they hosted. Obviously, it was a huge boost for American soccer. And then from then on, I think it was 2002, they made the quarterfinals, which is an incredible achievement. And it's just been getting more popular. Obviously, you have the internet coming along and social media and TV coverage. Everything has just, gained incredible momentum. And I don't see it stopping. I think, soccer for sure is here to stay. It's just hopefully one day we can see our country raising the World Cup in a final. It'd be wonderful.
Yeah, I remember the NASL, the North American Soccer League, and I was up in Seattle on television there at that time, and I also worked at CBS, and I did the last game for Pelé when he was with New York, and they played against on July the 4th against the Seattle Sounders up there. And I still remember that to this day. And that was back in the mid-70s at that particular time. Tell me a little bit about the development of young players in Europe and the rest of the world as compared to the way we've developed young players in this country. Because I've always felt that really soccer by nation takes on the personality of the country they happen to be playing in. Am I right about that, Dominic?
Yeah, absolutely, Ron. I think when you look at it too, at a young age, education in America, for the most part, is seen as very crucial, and very critical in a child's development. We're over there, some of these countries don't have the infrastructure for education, and therefore sport is the way out. You have 8-9-year-old kids that are not necessarily signing contracts, but are joined at the hip to a club, and that's a tough thing to battle. We have it now where we're signing players at 17, 18 years old, and it just started happening the last little while. So we're still years behind as far as developing players, but the gap is closing. And I think with MLS, you have young kids who have a club they have an identity with. They want to play for that team instead of maybe saying playing for a team over in England or in Spain. I think they have a good interest in wanting to play for a team stateside. That's only improved now with players like Michael Bradley and Clint Dempsey coming back and playing Major League Soccer. And let's not forget Landon Donovan and even David Beckham, as far as kind of creating a worldwide identity for Major League Soccer. But for us to really catch up in the development of players, you know, selfishly you have to get these kids at 9 and 10 years old, get them in academies, so obviously provide them with education so it's not a one-way street. You have something to fall back on. And we're still a little bit away from that. It all comes down to finances and facilities.
How much does soccer have to battle in this country the financial factor? And what I mean by that is you pick up a newspaper and see that this baseball player has signed for $30 million a year or this football player, and that's not the money that's available when it comes to professional soccer.
It's an uphill battle, and I think I really think, though, too, Ron, in order for this league to survive and thrive, I think we can't be paying the players this, you know, crazy amount of money because the TV contracts aren't there. We would never be able to survive. It would be maybe a 1 or 2 year, and then the league would go bankrupt. You know, and even still to this day, the league, in its own good way, is still losing a little bit of money every year. So, some players are making, a good amount of money. Some guys are not. I think we need a little bit better of a balance here as far as closing that gap. But as far as throwing out millions to every single player in your roster, it's almost going to be financial suicide.
One of the things, and correct me if you think I'm wrong about this, Dominic, that I think has been important in the development of the sport in this country is that they're getting their own identity with soccer teams having their own stadiums. Now, down in San Jose, you know, you guys have a brand new, beautiful stadium down there. I know Columbus has a stadium. I think Kansas City has one as well. And the new soccer franchises that are coming into play as well in the league are having their own facility as well. Has that been important in developing the sport in this country?
It's been huge. I can say, coming from Houston, we had a brand new stadium built 2 years ago. And it kind of cements your place in the marketplace as far as a sports franchise. You know, you're not renting out a college stadium or NFL stadium where, the stadiums are, maybe 60,000 and you're drawing 20, and it doesn't look so well. I think, John Fisher and Lou Wolf and Dave Cavill, and the building of Avaya Stadium have definitely cemented the San Jose Earthquakes, into the mainstream of the Bay Area sports landscape. It's wonderful to see. It's the perfect amount of people. It's going to be a great atmosphere. And I think now, Ron, even looking at it, there's really only one or two teams that share with the NFL stadium, which is one being the Seattle Sounders, which is fine because they draw about 40,000 to 50,000 people a game. But all the rest of them have their own soccer stadiums now, which is great to see. You kind of control your own parking, your revenue, your concessions. I wouldn't say it's a money maker, but you're on the right side of the business side of it. And then as far as the fan experience goes, it's a great place to go and hang out. And then as far as players goes, it's not only good for the players day to day, but it's a great recruiting tool as well.
Let me ask you about a couple of other criticisms of the sport, and that is I think we all know that television is an important aspect of the development of any sports franchise or league. And at one time it was said that if you shoot the sport on television too tight, you don't get the flow of the game, and if you shoot it too wide, then you don't see the technique that's involved. And also there was some criticism about, 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, not being enough for the attitude of the American sports fan.
Yeah, I think the American sports fans get a little more savvy towards soccer now, and they're a little bit more, forgiving as far as score goes. You're never going to get away from a low-scoring game unless you're that rarity where it's a complete blowout. And I admit to you, get the perfect feel and rhythm of a game on TV. It takes in-club close shots. It takes the far away. It takes great replays. I think also, when you see the replays of players' faces and the emotions they're going through, it kind of gives the supporter a good feel for the game. So I think we're getting better in that sense. I think any sport, I agree with soccer, if you're there live, it's much better than it is on TV. But I think as we go now, Ron, there's more, more savvy fans, more people who are willing to be patient and watch this rather than wanting 8-8 or 10-10. I think sometimes they can see the beauty in a 1-0 or a 2-1 game.
How important is it going to be to continue to develop people that the fans can relate to? And Landon Donovan is the perfect example. I've known Landon since he was a young kid, and he'd be here in the studio and we'd be talking about it. And I heard his frustration, which I'll get into a little bit later on, about having to go over to Europe, because when he went over to Germany and played, it was not a particularly good experience for him. But how important is it to have that player that, first of all, you can pronounce their name, and second of all, you can relate to?
No, it's hugely important. And thank goodness for Landon and all the years he spent in Major League Soccer. Let's be honest, I think the guy could have played in any league he wanted to, but his decision to and his desire to play in America and help the game grow is one of the reasons why you and I are having this conversation. One of the reasons why we have owners with deep pockets who are willing to spend their own money on stadiums. So it's important. And I've always hoped selfishly that the players would stay here. It's always better for the game, I think. You can understand their desire to go overseas. The money's there, the exposure, the competition is always that little bit better. But for the growth of our game, we do need our homegrown stars. And that's why it was so great to see guys like Josie Altidore, Michael Bradley, Clint Dempsey to come back. And I mean, if Tim Howard decided to come back, I think he added another great name to that list. But along the way, you know, Landon's been many things for this league, been a great player, great spokesperson. And, you know, it's sad to see him go on his retirement, but I think along the way we have to pat him on the back and say thank you.
Dominic Kinnear is with us on Sports Byline, the coach of the San Jose Earthquakes, and he has won 4 MLS championships as a coach and, of course, played a number of years as a pro soccer player and played for the United States national team, 54 caps. We continue across the country and around the world on Sports Byline.